You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. It's another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. I hope this finds you well. I hope everyone's got rid of their colds, everyone's sleeping through the night, no one's vomited, all the regular parenting stuff. Now, Wend, question of the day. I'm interested. Who organises the play dates and the kids' social lives in your house? Because I have spent maybe an hour and a half this morning plugging in play dates, responding to people's mums' messages, and it's just occurred to me that it's always me and I'm getting a bit angry about it.
It's always me. 100%.
Why though? Why is it always a mum's job? I don't really get it.
Because Tim couldn't give a shit whether they have a play date or not.
Exactly. So it only just occurred to me today that if I got hit by a bus tonight, I don't think the children would ever get to meet, socialise or play with anyone ever again.
I think you're overthinking it, if I'm honest.
Really? But it is... No, but listen,
well, look here,
though,
I'll make you a promise. If you get hit by a bus, I'll make sure Simon does play dates. How's that?
All right, that's quite a good deal. Right, let's find out who is director of social affairs in our guest's household. My money is on singer-songwriter and podcaster Jessie Ware. Welcome, Jessie. Am I right? Are you the social organiser?
Yes, and I'm really reassured that my husband thinks I'm a psychopath, the amount that I want to socialise my children. He seems to think that going to a park with a stick is enough for them.
Yes, and it's not, is it? I'm with you.
I disagree. Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I guess it's yin and yang, isn't it? But yeah, oh my God, he doesn't know any of the children's names. He doesn't, but he knows our children's names.
I was about to say,
that's always a really good start.
But yeah, none of the children's names, doesn't talk to any of the parents, but like, they're all really keen to chat to him. I'm like the PTA. No, I'm not on PTA yet. I probably should be, but yeah, no, totally. I know exactly where they're playing, who the parents are, and he couldn't care less. But it kind of works.
But you've got three to organise now. That's got to be some sort of social jiggery pokery to get that sorted.
Well, I was thinking we're going to be those parents, or those, that family that people just don't really want to invite over because they think they're going to get the whole camaraderie. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're going to be those people that people can't seat at restaurants because we're like the riffraff that are noisy and too big a party.
No, we're a four and we're definitely still riffraff. Don't worry about that.
Okay, fine, good.
I'll always be riffraff. Actually, it's interesting. So a friend of mine has just moved with her three kids and husband to the Congo, as you do. And there, play dates and organising your kids' social lives is not a thing. So when she like tries to say, oh, well, what should we do with that? What are you doing with your kids this week? And would you like to come? They all look at her apparently and are like, are you mad? Like, kids just run their own lives. Like, they don't need us to do it for them. So it's clearly like a cultural thing. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it's, I think it's my way of being able to be a control freak by being able to know about my schedule of my children's social life, because I probably need that social. I mean, I love me a Friday afternoon with other mums, and you do a play date, and it does feel like a cliche, like in Motherland, where they're like, we're gonna have spag bol and rosé, but I love it. And you kind of don't have to do the imaginary play because you're just shoving them all together in a room and then you can drink alcohol. It's brilliant.
But now, here's a question for you, because I sometimes find that I do play dates with people who are my friends because I want to see them.
Guilty.
Irrespective of whether my kids really are very good friends with their kids, which by dint of overexposure they are now. But do you do the same?
Oh my God, of course, they have to suck it up and go and play. And then you kind of balance it out with maybe a parent that you don't necessarily know or get on with, but you go and do that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, I think COVID's been quite a good, like, I mean, it's been terrible in many respects, of course, but with socialising children, it's been really hard, but it has made you be able to have an excuse of not having to hang out with every Tom, Dick and Harry.
I like you, Jessie. You're like me.
But now that you're emerging again, it feels quite stressful and strange,
terrifying,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, also because there's a backlog. So you've got all of the people saying, well, I haven't seen you in 18 months. We must meet up. And you're like, oh, I can't fit everybody in.
I know.
Anyway, back to the beginning, Jessie. Any sweat, any snot or any tears in the Ware household this morning?
Definitely snot, but that's just like, that just get passed around. So standard. At the moment, the number two is snotty, but in great spirits. We had no electricity today because we're getting a kitchen done, and I don't know, something had happened, the fuse had blown. So couldn't sort out my baby's formula bottles, so really had to rely hard on the boobs this morning, and didn't have any way to make any brekkie because couldn't open the fridge in case we couldn't get the power back on. Anyway, cut a long story short, we went to the caff today. It was nice. The biggest highlight for our kids because all the pictures are on the wall and they got to choose like their meal from a picture on the wall, and it was amazing, and they all ate everything. But yeah, definitely snotty. We've had a sick bug. It's my daughter's first day back from having like a week of poo and vom.
No. So she's at school, yeah, the big ones,
she's gone back, yeah, but yeah, so she's at school, but we've had snot, sick, and what's the other one, sweat. Yeah, I mean, that's probably
just
me.
Life.
I'm the sweaty one.
Constantly.
Yeah.
So yeah. How old? You've got a teeny tiny bubba and then a school, a five-year-old, is that right? And then one in the middle.
Yeah. Yes, I've got a five-year-old who's just started big school and a two-year-old who is just been at the play club on our row, which is amazing for the morning. And then the 10-week-old is having a sleep at the moment.
Jessie, how can you be on a podcast with us with a 10-week-old? I was still lying in bodily fluids at 10 weeks. I wasn't doing anything.
I mean, you can't see me right now, but I stink. And I love it. I've got my gym gear on that I put on every day just to encourage me to do something. But then I'm probably going to have a brownie and try and find something on Netflix in a minute. No, the reason I can chat to you is because, and I'm sure this is going to be very divisive and people are maybe going to go off me right now and turn off, but I've been really like, I've had a schedule with this third one because I was like, mate, we got to get in. So yeah, he's having a little day sleep and he loves it.
That's good. I'm with you on the schedule, especially for the later kids, because you can't just go with the flow like this. Like, you've got to get your daughter to school, right? The other one, you've got to keep alive, entertained, vaguely happy, fed. It's just chaos doesn't work.
But I mean, you know, I'm really judged, especially by like my mum's generation, I think.
Yes.
And my mum, particularly my mum, she's just like, you're mad. And I'm like, well, I haven't made him cry it out. It's not any of the kind of Gina Ford thing, but each to their own, if you know. But he's doing it and it's amazing. And it's been probably the most antisocial maternity leave ever because I'm beholden to the sketch. But it was really, I think I kind of had to do it for the other two. And
maybe for your own sanity?
For my own sanity, but yeah, like, you know, he goes to bed at 7 o'clock and obviously I feed him in the night, but also I'm going on tour in December.
Oh,
I'm in rehearsals in November, and I think for me and him, I wanted to be able to know
that he's settled before that starts.
That he's settled, exactly, and that he can, if he's in the rehearsal room with me, I'm like, right, okay, well, it's time for your milk, mate. And it's like, you know, I think also it's easier because he's mixed fed, so I think I know what he's drinking with his formula bottles. Mm. It's kind of helpful. So, yeah, I kind of know if he's got a full tummy or if he's, you know, just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but it seems to be working. I'm being able to chat to you right now.
You sound like you absolutely do.
But I do feel like a sergeant major. I know, but I do. It's funny because I didn't do it with the other two. And I kind of feel slightly guilty and also slightly resentful that I can't go to, like, baby cinema now. But equally, I'm working and I don't know, he seems to love the sleep.
Yeah, I did the same thing though. And I remember thinking, oh, it's like, I can't go and do this. But at the same time, the payoff was,
I know,
by kind of 7 months, she was having a 2-hour nap in the middle of the day, which is,
I know, joyful.
Absolutely joyful, because you can actually do something for yourself.
Go for poo, you can
do
anything.
Poo in peace, yeah.
And you don't have to deal with an overtired baby come late afternoon when you nearly want to have a breakdown.
Yeah, well, thank you for your support, because I do feel slightly apologetic by saying he's on a schedule.
Don't.
Because everyone thinks I'm like this militant bitch. But yeah.
No. I think it's fine to go with the breeze, you know, go with the wind on her first. But after that, it just gets really, really hard. Now, I want to go back to the calf this morning. And please, can you tell us what you had?
Well, because my daughter's still a little, you know, we're just trying to be play it kind of easy with her. She had a plain omelette. I had poached eggs on toast. Nice. Lovely. Could have done with a bit of Marmite. My husband went for the full veggie. And my son went for beans, egg and chips. It was wicked. It felt like such a kind of treat. And
you should do it once a week. Do it once a week now.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, we will, actually. It was so nice. And I think my husband was, he's been wanting to go there for so long. And there's not really been a reason to because I don't know. There's always a reason to go to a cafe, but you'll always go to the wanky coffee shop instead. And so we went there and it was just wicked. And the kids ate everything, which never happens. And I'm doing it again. It was cheap as chips.
I love a calf.
Yeah. So my kids are big fans of the Wimpy on Streatham High Road.
Which, oh, my God, I used to go there.
The best place ever. A lot of people turn their noses up at, but do you know what? You can't go wrong. And the kids think it's like heaven on earth. Florence said this year for her birthday, I said, right, you get to choose where we go for dinner. You can go anywhere you like because it's your birthday. And she said, please, can we just go to Wimpy on Streatham High Road? I was like, yes, you can.
Florence has great taste. I wrote about that in my book, actually, that particular Wimpy.
Ah, all the best people go there, clearly.
Why did it make the grade in the book?
Well, the book is about kind of food memories. And it was actually a bit of a sad memory. But my parents had split up and my dad was trying to do something that, like, my mum was always better at doing the, like, the fun stuff, like, yeah, we'd go to the ABC cinema in Streatham, or we go to the Odeon and we go and get loads of sweets, and or we'd be going to Trocadero. She was always kind of like always taking us places. Fun Junction in Crystal Palace, I think that was a thing that is no longer, and my dad was like trying to take me somewhere that would kind of was a bit like what my mum would do. And so he took me to see Dumb and Dumber, which is like the worst thing to go and see with your dad. And then took me for a Wimpy. And it was like a really sad Wimpy. And I felt really sorry for him because it really, he was like a fish out of water. But the banana milkshake, I don't know if it's still as good as it used to be in the 90s.
Oh yeah, my son is a big fan. Yeah.
It's really good. And the wholemeal bun, I really appreciate it.
Now you're surprising me here because food is Jessie Ware. You are all about food, and here you are loving a Wimpy. I'm very pleased.
Absolutely. I think I hate the idea that potentially people think I'm a food snob, because I'm absolutely not. I think good food is good food, and some of those ones bring, you know, Wimpy brings in such nostalgia from my childhood.
Yeah.
And those kind of rainy Sundays when mum would not know what to do and she'd be taking us to the cinema, and we've probably seen the film three times anyway, but she was like, sod it, let's go again, and getting that. I don't know, that it's like treats, isn't it? And so yeah.
So why a pod about food when you're a singer, and why your mum? I've got to ask, she's amazing, but where on earth does the idea to do a pod with your mum? I got stuck with Annie, you know.
Well, you two are amazing, but also I think basically my food is kind of my everything. I mean, apart from my kids and my husband and everything, I have always adored it. And I think I was having a bit of a crappy time with music where I just felt like it was just a kind of, it was relentless. I was felt like I was too torn with being a parent and not being a good enough parent because I was working too hard, but also that wasn't working out brilliantly. So I was kind of, I just needed an outlet. And so I decided to do a podcast, and we kind of started it quite a long time ago in the grand scheme of podcasts.
Yeah.
And it was really meant to be an outlet and an escape from what my day job was, which was singing. And I thought, why not do it talking about food and memories and have my mum cook the meal, because my mum's, it's always been a thing. If you know me, you would have, and we like you, you will have been invited round to my mum's for a Friday night dinner or some kind of dinner. And people have always loved it, and they've loved my mum's cooking, and she's just like the best host. So I was like, well, why don't I do that? And I'll get to see my mum, bring my washing over, and she'll cook. And to be fair, I didn't realise she was going to have such a big kind of part. I thought maybe she'd be like just serving the meal and having like a quip or two, but no one puts any in the corner, as I've said before,
as anybody
who's listening to the podcast knows.
And I
never thought it would be as successful as it has been. It has been incredible. And I think, you know, my mum is such a star. I'm so proud of her. She brought us up on her own and she's just amazing. She's vivacious. She's inspiring. She's obnoxious a lot of the time. She's interested.
Yes. That's the thing I love about her. She's so interested in everyone. It's such a lovely quality.
I mean, you don't hear the edit. Sometimes she's not interested in them. And I have to, anyway, I think mum and I have got a similar thing where we're so interested in people and we love conversation. You take us anywhere and we'll make friends with anyone in that queue that we're waiting to board the plane on, anyone in the kind of waiting, the line for the tube, anyone at the hotel bar. Like, we love a conversation. So it kind of suits us perfectly.
Now, I want to know, and you've kind of touched on this just, as co-hosts, Wendy and I often find that one of us really takes to a guest and then the other one's like, no, I just don't feel like I gelled with that person. Does that happen with you and your mum, or are you much more, you both love someone or you both don't love someone?
Oh my God, totally. Like, I think with, now I'm worried who's not gelling with me. When you get off this, you're going to have the convo.
No, you're like, oh, one of the gosh, ones in the easy. We both can be done, don't worry.
Thank you. I think my mum kind of turns off when it's a music person. Even though she loves music, I think she thinks that, like,
it's your thing.
She's out. Yeah, and I think she's like, oh, bore off. Oh, yeah, woe is you. Me, women in the music industry. I've heard it before. And then she is, like, incredible when it comes to politicians or journalists. That's like when she really gets her Radio 4 voice on and she really like goes for it, and I kind of just go, right, over to you, mum, because I sound so stupid right now. So yeah, I leave it to her.
It's a great double act. I love it.
Thank you.
So stepping away from the world of podding and going back to the world of mumming, who is it that gets you through? We've touched a little bit on the spag bol and a glass of rosé, but do you have a kind of go-to bunch of mum? I hate the word mum friends, and I've just used
it. Yeah, because it could be dads.
Shoot me now. Parent friends, or is it old friends, or is it music industry friends? Who are your kind of sanity savers that you drink wine with?
I mean, I think it's kind of become really like localised. So I've got like, I'm really enjoying making friends with my daughter's school friends, mums and dads, because they're not in music industry, they're not showbiz, and they're really fantastic. And it's probably people, I don't know about you, but school friends, it's parents maybe that you would never have thought that you would necessarily be friends with. They're maybe not like your old uni friends or your kind of your schoolmates, whatever, but there's something that brings you together with, you know, through the school, through your kids being friends. And I love that. And so it's really, I don't know, I've got a really lovely mate up the road called Kerrion, who I probably would have been friends with her before, but I met her and we're kind of, you know, she works in HR and she's fantastic and I love her, and she's doing so much stuff for the community and I'm so inspired by her. And then I'm just like the shit person that's like, I'll get involved. Yeah.
With all your spare time, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I use that maybe as an excuse. But yeah, so I don't know. I was one of the first of my girlfriends to have a baby. And we have a WhatsApp group, and it's probably like mostly of like my uni mates. And we kind of ask questions or tell each other who's shitting and who's, you know, picking their nose and whatever, and we kind of send pictures, but they're my people. But I kind of feel like lots of my girlfriends come to me for some of the advice. Well, they used to, because it was like first time round. Now they knew what they were doing anyway. But I have a kind of variety. I think also, you know, I like to ask my mum questions, but I don't always like to take her advice because I don't agree with it sometimes. But I kind of, she's maybe sometimes my first port of call, just because she's my mum, but then I don't like what she says. So then I go, okay, now I'm rejecting that. But yeah, it's really varied. I do have friends in the industry. And that's kind of a different conversation. That's usually about how you're going to manage touring with babies. Like me and Paloma Faith are always texting each other.
How are you going to do that? I'm genuinely worried. How are you going to do that?
I don't know.
You're just going to wing it?
No, I'm going to have to. It's really depressing how hard it is to make it work, particularly with COVID. I mean, my issue is, like, bless poor Paloma Faith has just had to cancel some shows because
she
got laryngitis from her baby who got it from her toddler. The toddler wasn't...
poor Paloma, we had her on here and she was fabulous.
And she was talking about the fact she was pregnant.
Yeah, she was.
She was pregnant. She was saying she didn't know how she was going to do this tour with two in
tow. She left one at home because that one... I think maybe at school now, actually. And so left one at home, but that one had already passed on the lurgy to the baby who passed it on to her. So they all got laryngitis, you know. So best laid plans. It's really tough the way that I'm going to do it because I'm doing quite I'm dancing in my show, which is very verging on midlife crisis, I think.
It's going to be great.
I'm doing like a full month of rehearsals in November. And I'm touring in probably the worst time for like bug season in December. And it's only like 10 days. However, I'm not going to be able to bring the two old ones on tour. One's in school and she's got to go to school. And the other one will stay with her. But I'll bring the baby. But it's like a bit Sophie's Choice. But also it's... it's this thing of like isolating and bubbling. I don't really, because, you know, I'm going to either have to bring our nanny and steal her away from our other two for 2 weeks, or my husband comes, or can we balance it so my husband comes for a few days so that he's not leaving the other two? It's really tough.
Oh my God, my head hurts thinking about it.
It's really shit. And I feel sorry for the kids. I feel a bit sorry for myself. And I feel sorry, we're not going to be able to like go to restaurants or go out of our hotel on days off because I'm so scared about getting COVID. Because if COVID happens, I can't do the show. Whether or not I'm ill or not, I can't do the show. So it's whether I knuckle down like a week before the show starts and don't live with my kids. It's so crap. We'll work it out. And it's a short-lived thing, but it is a tough thing where you feel... like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And also, is that my door or yours?
That's my doorbell. I'm going
okay,
to just
fine.
Resolutely ignore that and hope dogs doesn't start barking. Sorry. Carry
on, Jessie.
Are you
sure you don't want to get it?
It'll be Amazon. It's
probably
it's
a delivery.
Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell my husband. Nobody tell Tim.
So coming back to what Jessie was saying about the difficulties of juggling and touring, I think any working parent listening to this, like, it's all just a constant moving, shifting, isn't it?
Totally. I was just chatting to my mate who's a freelancer. Her baby just had croup. The childminder just called in sick. The baby was up all night. She's knackered. I'm just going to go walk with her to have a coffee. And she was like, it's just relentless. And, you know, so, yeah, it's the juggling is just wild for anybody. Absolutely. Mine's just a bit like, it's just a bit of a kind of, I think people think maybe it feels really fabulous, but and I'm not complaining.
Were you kind of like, oh, well, in for a penny when you went for number three? You know, it's chaos with two. What the hell? I want another one.
Oh, the
one.
More
Let's
the merrier, yeah. And you know what? Like, it's chaotic, but it's the best kind of chaos. And I love it, and I'm one of three. And so I felt like I needed to do... I mean, my husband was like, you're fucking mad. And now he's going, well, we should just even it up and have four.
Oh, go on, Jessie, go on.
It's your pelvic floor, love. You've got to make that decision.
And now I'm doing my kegels, whatever they're called.
We got a press release this morning, Jessie.
You have to tell her the story. Tell her the story.
So we got a press release this morning that said there's some sort of movement going on to encourage women to be #dry for Christmas. And I was
my God.
I thought it was a press release about potty training or something, and I opened it. The second hashtag is #festivefanny. And basically, they're trying to get you to do your pelvic floors so that you're dry for Christmas.
Dry fanny doesn't sound very attractive, though, does it?
Doesn't.
Well, it sounds better than a leaky fanny, though.
Oh, yeah, and a moist. Ugh.
Anyway, moist, don't use that word.
But also just the words festive, Fanny, make me think of, like, what did you call it? Like a vajazzle. You know, when people used to
when they had,
like,
diamonds.
Sequins,
yeah.
And shit.
It's like
there.
Opening up your legs and going, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, I sent it to my friend and she said, well, my festive Fanny got me Toby. So I was, that's her eldest. And I was like, wow. So I'm going to, we're going to write about this story because it's part funny and part degrading, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is.
Now, Jessie, talk to us. You've got another podcast out, haven't you, about parenting itself?
Well, no, it's not. I don't know if it's about parenting because I feel like I can't. It's more about is it parenting? I don't know. Is it?
Well, parenting it's about generally, pregnancy. But pregnancy more specifically. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, so it's about pregnancy. I basically, like every other person under the sun, I think, Googled everything. Even on my third baby, when I was pregnant, I did about 10 pregnancy tests. Googled saying, can I be pregnant when da da da. Anyway, and I just thought that. You know, we all have the apps, don't we, where it says what size vegetable our baby is and stuff. I just thought that potentially instead of looking at a screen or typing something in, and the internet can be really brilliant for lots of things, but it all can also can scare you to death. I just thought, why not have a conversation around all these symptoms, all these questions with some experts that kind of become a friendly, reassuring voice in your ear. And kind of do a bit of a, you know, week by week, what's going on with your baby? What's going on with your body? Is it normal that you have itchy boobs? Is it normal that you've got loads of discharge that you didn't want to talk to your midwife about? Yes, it's all normal. And it just was trying to create a bit of a community of people to help reassure others that everything is normal because every pregnancy is different. And the symptoms are endless and you may experience all or none or some. And just to kind of be, a little helping hand to help you through pregnancy and preparing for birth. And it's honestly, it's kind of an offering for people. Take it or leave it. Take a little bit of the advice that the experts give you. Or if that's not for you, fine. And so it's kind of just trying to empower the pregnant person in a really mad 9 months waiting for this big day where you don't know what's going to happen. So I think I would have really loved it when I was pregnant with my first and my second, and I guess I was lucky to make it on my third. That's what we've been doing whilst I've been pregnant.
I really would have loved that because I hated all sorts of things. I was, Annie and I both get a F- for being pregnant because we were both pukers.
Really? You poor thing.
And I just would have loved.
Did you get it all the way through?
Oh yes.
Middleton special.
Yeah, but without the posh doctors and anyone giving a shit, basically. I still did the school run. I just puked into bushes on the way.
Oh,
it was
my God,
fine.
You poor thing.
So we definitely would have done with a podcast to kind of soothe our woes.
Oh, well, look, I mean, it's been amazing, the reaction. I think when we put out, because I was just trying to do it quite quietly. I think it's such a terrifying space to put yourself in because everyone has different opinions, so I didn't want to ever make it feel like I was being prescriptive with the advice that was given. It is very much like, here is this, but here's the other side of it, and take what you will from this. Mm-hmm. And I am not the expert, I am the one asking the questions. I do think that it's been really amazing, the reaction. But also when I just put out an email, I mean, I put out a thing on my Instagram being like, you know, doing this pregnancy project, if you're interested, like, you know, write to this email. And we got thousands of emails. You know, people want to talk about their pregnancies. They want to discuss it. They want to.
Well, that's
so
why Net Mums exists.
By it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you want to talk about sleeping, you want to talk about poos, you want to talk about wheeze, everyone wants to talk about it, and it consumes you. So it's been really amazing, the reaction.
I'm glad. Now I wanted to ask you something about births. So you've had three of them. Obviously, the bit that I'm most interested about the birth is, what did you eat afterwards? Because traditionally, you're meant to have that tea and toast that the midwife makes you, aren't you?
Never got it.
But I noticed in your Instagram, after you had the new baby, it was a burger you were chowing down on. What did you have after the other two, and what was the best?
So, first time, it was a kind of over 24 hours the labour, like standard for old first babies, right? Some people go more than a day. Anyway, I chugged on that gas and air so hard and vomited so much. I looked like I was at like a secret garden party on like the last day. And I wanted an honest burger. We were at UCH. Yum. I was like, I've planned the honest burger. It's on Tottenham Court Road, babe. That's what we're going to get. And he went to get it, my husband. Baby was born at about 4:30 in the afternoon. Perfect time for a burger. And I couldn't swallow it because I'd like made my throat so red raw.
No.
But I had to eat friggin' cornflakes, soggy cornflakes for like 5 days.
No.
So I did not get my moment, champagne and burger. I did not get it.
That's life being very cruel to you.
Yeah, crap. Second time round, born at home, very late at night. Don't know. Oh, I'd made a spag bol before, which I believe is the reason I went into labour. So I had this spag bol, which was absolutely delicious. So he was born late and we had dark chocolate and champagne. Perfect. In bed with all my midwives, cup of tea, dark chocolate, champagne.
In bed with the midwives. Love it.
Yeah, loved it. And then third time, this one was born at home. Very lovely time to actually be born. 8:30, considerate. Got a delivery.
Very
got
civilized.
My honest burger. Got my honest burger.
Yay!
And again,
yay!
All the midwives got their honest burgers. We all had them and got everything. I don't know if I had a big enough glass of champagne, but sat in bed with honest burgers and chips and their bacon gravy, and it was wicked.
Oh, that
see,
sounds
I couldn't drink
so
after
good.
Mine. I was so out of it. It was like...
Oh, really?
I was just like, the idea of alcohol would have pushed. I went in fully intending to have a glass of champagne.
So what did you have?
Oh, tea. Sweet tea and hot chocolate and tea and toast. I was in hospital, though, so it's kind of you get what you're given a little bit.
Yeah.
But there is, I mean, there's nothing more nurturing and reassuring than really good buttered white toast. I mean, I love it. That smell in the hospital is the best smell on a in a hospital, because I don't like the smells in hospitals.
Yeah,
but that smell of when the breakfast round's happening and you get the tea and toast. I love it.
You're making me want toast. Well, everything you talk about, I just want to go and eat. I'm going to end up the size of a house by the end of this bloody podcast. Now, over to you, Wend, for the next question.
Yeah, now this is a slightly tricky question, Jessie. We always ask our guests, how do you want to be remembered by your kids?
Oh, God. That's I want to be remembered. Oh, fuck. Because I know I'm not the fun one. My husband is the fun one. I'm like the person.
But
that,
you might be. You might become the fun one.
I'm not the fun one. I'm just not. Like, bless them. My daughter's trying to be implementing tickle time. And actually, it's been really jokes. And my pelvic floor just about managed my husband. Not my husband. Freudian slip. My son. like jumping on my bladder. But anyway, I'm definitely not going to be known as the fun one. But I'm going to be, hopefully I'll be known as the one that made them think they could be and do anything. And took them to exciting places and let them experience the world. And loved them loads and gave really good cuddles and head massages. My daughter demands a head massage every night now.
I'd be up for that. Nightly head massage. That sounds lovely.
That was not very profound, but I'm blaming my third child for my baby brain. But I just want
to... I'm actually very refreshed by your answer, because we get a lot of, just remember that I was very loving and da-da. And that's all, of course.
Yeah.
But it is more interesting to know who's the fun one in the house, who isn't, what else your role can be. Because it is hard to find what your little role is in the gang, isn't it?
I think sometimes I need to, like step down from my mission, though, and like just I need to be more present. I know that I do about 10,000 different things.
Oh, but we all do.
Yeah,
that's not just you. Don't take that one on your shoulders alone.
I think my husband is just so brilliant at being fun and in the moment. And I'm always like planning. It's like, I mean, I do it with food anyway. Like when we're eating breakfast and planning what we're having for lunch.
Yeah.
It's I never get off the kind of the treadmill. I'm just constant. And I wish I could just be still and be in the moment. And actually, I've written a song about it for the next record, just because I love those moments when I stop, but I don't give myself enough time to stop, because I'm always thinking about what it is, whether it's me. I mean, I think that is similar for lots of parents, and maybe particularly mums, when we're organising, you know, whether they're doing ballet, who they're seeing, like what they, whether they've had their bloody, you know, balanced meal. I mean, it's not fun shit, but, you know.
Shit that's got to be done.
God, I sound so dull.
No, you don't. You just sound like a normal person. Now, talking about shit that's got to be done, what's for tea tonight and who's cooking?
Okay, so tonight we're trying to clear out our freezer because it's really icy. This is really boring, isn't it? But so we're trying to really get through the freezer. So the kids are a big fan of scampi, waffles. You know, they're going to have the frozen peas. It's going to be one of them. I'm sick of trying at the moment. I don't have a kitchen. They don't eat anything. So it's either it's alternating between gnocchi, pasta, tortellini, or something in the freezer.
I vote for scampi. The scampi sounds nice.
Yeah, scampi is like, it's so funny. My daughter, who's quite fussy, like she'll eat mussels till they come out of her ears. And I just like, that blows my mind. She'll eat like prawn scampi, but yet won't touch, you know, a bit of like chicken with some sauce on.
No, my daughter was the same. She'd eat calamari and olives, but she wouldn't eat a chicken nugget.
Yeah.
Yes, Attie, it's so
Attie
weird.
Loves smoked eel, but ask him to eat a potato and he'll burst into tears.
Shut up!
Yeah. It's he so asked weird. For his birthday, he said, can you get me some smoked eels from Northern Ireland? I mean, how ridiculous. Oh, but if you give him a lump of mashed potato, he'll cry and say, you know I can't eat that. It's
my
disgusting.
Kids can't do mashed potato either. It's so funny, isn't it? Like, my son actually retches on it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
same.
Oh, come on, buck up.
I can't say I blame him. I'm not a fan of the mashed spud.
Are you serious, Wendy? I don't think we can be friends anymore. How have you never told me this?
I eat roasties. That it's just mashed.
Yeah, but that... Oh, no. Wend.
I'm just not a big fan of potato. I'm sorry. No. Like, give me rice or, like, rice
oh, guys,
any day over
I
potato.
I think we're going to have to end this conversation right here. My surname is O'Leary.
I know you are an Irish potato farmer at heart, but...
Oh, fair enough.
Get over
sorry,
it.
Yeah.
So, Jessie, last question.
Yeah.
Got to be an easy one for you.
Yeah.
Imagine Annie and I are your three delightful children and you are tucking us into bed and sing us your family lullaby. What do you sing when they can't go to sleep?
Because everyone has a go-to song.
Okay, so okay, I've got a few. Is that
oh,
okay?
Good. Yeah,
give us
go.
A medley.
I like to. I've tried out songs. I did a Disney song. I did a version of Dream is a Wish for a Disney thing, and I thought I did it before I had children. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be the lullaby that, you know, I sing to my kids. At the moment, my son really needs London Bridge is Falling Down.
Of course.
But then one night. Woke up in sweat and tears. He has quite a lot of night terrors. And he woke up in sweat and tears. And I said, what's the matter, Donnie? He went, London Bridge is falling down. And I thought, right, we need to stop doing that before bed. So that one's done. The one that I have to say my son really likes, he is very into the songs. Frozen. Na 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 hey ya na na ya ya. You know that one? No, just the intro. It's the intro, basically. So I have to just do that, and then I have to do the Olaf bit where he goes, na, 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 and then they love. So basically I have to pretend that I'm one of the people that Elsa belongs to, and Olaf. So that's something that we do, and I have to do that over and over again. Otherwise, it's really annoying. They just want Twinkle Twinkle, and I'm so sick of it.
Aren't we all?
It's a classic, though. It's a classic, guys.
Well, I've tried all the jazz standards and they just don't go for them.
It's very disappointing when you can actually sing, because I can't sing for shit. And my kids want Oranges and Lemons, which is...
Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's okay, pretty brutal at the end, though. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head.
Well, yeah, they all kind of sound like nightmares.
Yeah, we've had to rework it so that it's not scary. But I don't sing to my children because it's not fair.
No, come on, look, I sing to my children and they go, shh, turn it down, Mummy, I want Spice Girls.
That's hilarious. Paloma Faith said that when she sings to hers and they tell her to shut up, she's like, dude, do you know how much people would normally pay for this?
Oh, mate, I've said exactly the same. I said, this is kind of why I'm quite up for making my daughter go beyond her bedtime, to just see how many people adore me in Brixton Academy.
You have to.
Yeah, she's got to see it.
Yeah. I mean, you want me to sing London Bridge? Really?
Yeah. Or you don't even want me to. You just want, the heartbreaking thing. They go, I want Daddy to sing. And I'm like, fuck you. Daddy has no voice. And I shouldn't say fuck you. Everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Jessie should get social service involved. I don't actually swear at them. They definitely, my daughter's got really good at telling me off for swearing.
We have a swear jar and it has got more money in it than I think I've got in the bank.
Who gets the money?
Well, basically, whoever has run out of cash and needs to pay someone pillages the swear jar most of the time. It's been spent on Lego. It's, you know, the kids are supposed to get it because they put the money in it every time we swear. But it's become a bit of a joke because we swear so much.
We had a night on holiday this year where I said, for some reason, swearing came up and I said, right, for one night only, and because we're away in the middle of nowhere camping in a tent, you can say all the swear words you've ever heard. And it was hilarious seeing they're really sort of puzzled, like, am I really allowed to say this? Can I really do this? And then also hearing the words they think are swear words that aren't, and then some of the words that they really should
have heard. Were there any ones that stood out that they thought were swear words?
No, except that to them the F word is still fart, which I'm quite pleased about. You get a bit panicky when you hear them say, can I say the F word? And you're like, oh, really? And then it's fart, so you're fine.
Chloe F-bombed Nanny when she was four. She was sat in the hall and she went, Nanny, I can't get on my fucking boots.
And
She used it right. My mum nearly combusted. It was hysterical.
My daughter was playing Mario Kart because that's what my husband's got her into. She's very good at it. I think it's way too early for her to be a gamer. But anyway, she was doing Mario Kart races. We like to say it's really good for their, you know, cognitive development. And yeah.
Yes.
She went, for fuck's sake, because she came third. And she said it under her breath. And I thought, yeah, you know, you've done that well. But then the other day she said cricket hell.
Oh.
And I thought, cricket. Oh, I don't mind her saying cricket hell.
Yeah.
I think it was meant to be fucking hell. Yeah. I mean, yeah. My mum just says you need to stop swearing because she'll swear and then you'll get called in by the teachers.
Yeah, a friend of mine got called into nursery saying that their kid had been saying fuck's sake too often. And the teacher said, we try saying fat snake.
Because that's going to work, isn't it?
But I mean, like, how many people do actually get called in?
Well,
you're fed. I've never been called in. So there's hope for us all if I haven't.
Right, Miss Ware, we're going to let you go back to your baby.
Thank you so much. This has been really lovely. Thank you for having me. And
come back after the tour and tell us how it went, please.
You'll probably see on Instagram, I'll be like, I'm so sorry, I've contracted COVID and there won't be a tour. And I'm now really bankrupt because I had to pay for all those rehearsals. But anyway, no, fingers crossed. Hopefully I'll make it to Brixton Academy without a lurgy, touch wood.
Fingers crossed. Good luck, Jessie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessie. Bye-bye.
Bye. Lots of love.